Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at this passage, various portions within 1 Corinthians 15. We have been studying through this book for several months now, and we're coming towards the end of it. And today's message is talking about the importance of worship that entails endurance, keeping up with endurance. I would say one of the most enduring types of things that I've been involved with involves running. Now, back when I was in high school, the idea of running meant that we would pick out a stretch of place that we're going to run, and we could see the finish line of where we're going to run to. And to me, that was running. It was a sprint that I would run until I got to the very end, and that was, for me, running. Well, in the last few years, I've been introduced to a new concept of running. One of our church members here, by the name of Joel Abrams, loves to run. He's running races, and he's got t-shirts and probably, 50 t-shirts or something from all the different races that he runs. And Joel loaned to me a book this thick on how to run. I don't know what the title was, but something like How to Run and Not Die. I don't know what it was. But that's kind of the ideas I got in regard to it. So in looking through this book and studying in preparation for the longest run that I ever thought that I would do, a half marathon, which has 13 miles and takes about 2 hours. Now, thinking about doing something for 2 hours, now, I could preach for 2 hours. That'd be okay. That doesn't take as much energy. But the idea of running for 2 hours. So as I took that book and I was reading through it, it gave all these different instructions on how to prepare for such an event. Because I was thinking, well, you know, you just run. Who needs to teach how to run, right? You know how to run. But the element of endurance is what was the concern. And as I take this concept, I look at it similarly to what this endurance that's being talked about in this passage. Now granted, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the theme of this chapter is the importance and truth of the resurrection. But if you'll go with me to the end of the chapter, of chapter 15, there is a verse 58, and it starts out with these words, this one key word. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So as we look at this idea of endurance, he's taking this whole concept of the resurrection and all it entails and the proof of it to give us a therefore. So when I look at that therefore, I look back at everything that he has said, and he says that the truth of the resurrection ought to give me endurance to be able to accomplish things for God. And so as we look back over this passage and over the verses that we want to look at today, I look at some key things that could help us if we were involved with one of these long-term enduring races called the spiritual life. For you know that if you read through the Bible, you'll find that the idea of growing and maturing as a Christian is not a sprint. Not like my idea when I was first introduced to running, that you are able to see the finish line and that you're able to accomplish it all within a 1 minute time. That was called a race. But you know, the race that God has described as the Christian race is one that entails an endurance, one that you don't even see the finish line of, that you don't even know what all you're going to go through, basically. But you know it's going to take some time, and you know it's going to take some endurance. And as we look at some of these things, I want to look at some things I believe that are somewhat similar to what is necessary to have what it takes to finish a two-hour run race. I just heard yesterday about a race that is called a 50-mile race. A 50-mile, I don't know what they call it, it's a double a double marathon or what, but I can't imagine running for 50 miles. I start getting tired driving for 50 miles. But these ideas of having this endurance type thing, and I am amazed, and I hope you don't take lightly individuals who have been faithful Christians for years, individuals who have placed their faith in Christ decades ago and are still running strong for the Lord. I hope you don't take that lightly. We benefit greatly here at Blair Ridge Baptist Church with individuals who have been faithful for years serving God, not giving up running, not ones that ran that 100-yard dash and passed off the baton to someone else and said, "You go." They're all in a marathon, and we run together with them, and what a joy. But let's look at some things that can help us that might keep us from not making it there. For everyone that we enjoy that has been in the race for over decades, there's individuals that have fallen off the path. There's individuals that have given up the race. And if we were to talk with some of those individuals here today that have been involved with church ministry for years, they could go back and recount individuals that started the race with them. There are individuals that they thought, these guys really have what it takes to be able to finish the race strong, and somehow along the road something has happened. And these individuals have fallen out of the race, and they aren't in the process of finishing strong for God. Well, my goal today is to try to look at those of us that are here in the race and wanting to be efficient and effective for God, not just for today, not just down this year, but as long as until Jesus Christ comes back, until that time of the resurrection, that time when we are able to see Him face to face and see the change, we want to be able to endure and go on. So there are four different things. If you have your notes there, you can see how to fill in those little blanks. First one is, in order to be able to run strong and to run faithful, we need to avoid or have an avoidance of distractions. A few weeks before it was time for me to get in to pick up with Joel and ride up to where our place of running was, I made a decision that I was preparing for training. I was eating for training, you know. I've been running for training, but now I started thinking diet, things like that. And one of the things that we'll notice in this passage is that there are things that we can bring into our lives that can keep us from being prepared to run. And the Apostle Paul is talking specifically about the issues of making sure you don't run with individuals that are going to distract you from the course. In this particular context, it was individuals that didn't believe in the resurrection, but they had wrong doctrine. They had a wrong view of God. They had a wrong understanding of what Christianity was all about. And he says this in verse 33 and 34 of chapter 15, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God." I speak this to your shame. And encouraging them to understand that if you're going to understand and take advantage of this truth of the resurrection, you need to make sure you're careful about who you run with and what you bring into your life. That it's not just an issue of diet, it's an issue of who you run with. Now, in the running of the race, it does matter kind of who you run with. They can help you with your pack of who you're running with. I, being a novice at running, I got right back at the back of the pack, and I was just going, Joel went way up to the front. He was way up there. I never did see him until the end of the race. I did see him. We had to cross each other once. And he was coming back, and I was still trying to get. But I was in the back of the pack, and I thought, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go a slow pace. We got going. We had to go down a trail. And in that pack, all of a sudden, I realized the people around me, they were in it for the fellowship. And they had made this big wide band of all just running, and we're in a race, but we'll just get there whenever we get there. And I was behind all that, and I'm thinking, these people don't have the same intent that I have. I have an intent to be progressing and moving forward and getting onto something better, but they had just hogged up the whole thing. I couldn't get around. So I found myself getting off the path and running in the grass and trying to sprint as much as this body will sprint for me around these individuals to try to get to a place where I could find somewhere in front of the clog so we could run a decent pace. And that reminded me of how that sometimes that we can be distracted anywhere. These were good people, but their direction, just their motivation and such was not the best. And even in this situation, they were distracting me from my goal. And folks, we have all various levels of individuals that will distract us from the run. Whether it's individuals that will say, it's too hard, you don't need to do that. Individuals, as I got prepared to do the run, that's crazy. Why do you want to do something like that? You got something wrong up here? You know, that you're wanting to do something like that? There's individuals that might, just as I said, be at the wrong pace. And you know, in our spiritual run, we're going to have similar things. Even if people say, you don't want to do that kind of stuff. I remember when I first started going to church, told them I was going to church, my parents, and they said, oh, one of the people that was there when I told my mom where I'm going, oh, you're going to that church, you don't want to go to that church. You know, they got rules, and you know, it's going to be hard. And I'm thinking, well, no, it's enjoyable. I like these people. They're teaching me about God. They're helping me grow and all this type of stuff. But there are people that were discouraging. People that were trying to say, well, you know that kind of a thing when you make a decision to do something for Christ, they kind of say, we'll see how it pans out. We'll see how long you stick with it. We'll see if you're back to your old self before you know it. And so there were the naysayers, even in my spiritual run as a teenager. And maybe you've seen them too as well. When you say, I really want to get involved with church. I really want to start doing things for God. And they're saying, oh, come on, that's just a waste of time. You know, you don't want to do that. You'll get burnt. You know, you don't want to get involved with a bunch of hypocrites. You know, all these types of things. You know, do something that's going to be beneficial to you. And so you got to avoid the evil company that corrupts good habits. And sometimes just downright people who are totally off theologically. They say, you don't need Jesus Christ. You can do it all on your own. You can do it through your own works. You can do it through this kind of activity or that kind of activity. You don't need to humble yourself before God. You don't need to ask for His forgiveness and seek salvation through His Son. Evil company can corrupt good habits and keep us from being involved with the race. And it says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. And just want to, for correlation's sake, just to think about what, when I tried to alter my diet and think about the things that I didn't want in my body when I was going to take on that run, I thought through the things I need to eliminate. And you know, it's interesting that, a race is just something you don't want to really have eaten a great big meal before you go on. You know, I did that a few times when I was training, and it was not a good result. I just really had some bad things going on there with the digestion situation. But, you know, it was an understanding that if you're going for that type of thing, you have to be careful what you bring into your body. You know, I also discovered that, you know, putting on lots and lots of stuff when you run is really kind of hard. But, you know, in our spiritual run, we tend to burden ourselves down with things. We think we're going to get out there and run, and we've been distracted by all the stuff that we want to take with us in this run for Jesus Christ. So the first point is, you look at that verses 33 and 34, the Apostle Paul is encouraging them, watch out, just avoid these things, be careful, don't be deceived. You, it does matter who you run with. It does matter who you bring into your company. It does matter. These individuals are going to either help you to run strong, or they're going to distract you. They're either going to help you speed up, or they're going to slow you down. They may even take you on the wrong trail. Don't be deceived. make sure you run with those that are going to help you go in the direction you need to go. Over the next several verses, from verses 35 through 44, you'll be looking at more in your encore group. But basically, this is the meat of the resurrection elements. The Apostle Paul is telling them that you got to understand the resurrection. You have to see die first, and then it can come alive and have the fruit and all that type of stuff. And he says the resurrection is after this physical life is over. Then we'll come into a new life. After this old body has died, this corruptible body. And by the way, some of us are really looking forward to getting rid of these old bodies, aren't we? And looking forward to a time we can have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. One that is perfect. And one that is very much so bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that is described there, and describes it how that from Adam we received our first body from that... from the flesh, and that through sin, that we also have this body now that is dying. That sin has brought death into this world, and this body has become now corruptible, and that Adam, being the one who brought that on, that Jesus Christ is the one who brings on something different for us. That he gives us that new life. That Jesus Christ gives us an opportunity to trade in our corruptible bodies for an incorruptible, or another way to say it, the body that's decaying, falling apart, and it's just, it doesn't work, to one that does. And what a joy to think about what he's talking about here. And so I just entitled this being aware of the duration of the run, the pathway of where you're going. As I mentioned earlier, my concept of running, this idea of these individuals who went out for cross country didn't make any sense. You know, you'd run and you, I mean, you can't cheer for these guys because they're off in some woods someplace or whatever, you know, and then they all of a sudden, next thing you know, they pop in there, they're at the finish line. You know what all happened there? You know what went on? You know, I was a track runner. I was one where you get everything's confined within this little stadium where you can see everything that's going on. And you knew what the duration was. You knew what everything was set up. But, you know, sometimes we don't actually see the route that is set out for us, but we have some ideas of what God's talking about. Now, let me just look at verses 50 and 52. And then I'll go back and we'll look a little bit of a diagram. It says, "Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That's a big encouragement that when we get to the very end, this is what's going to happen, is that we're going to be changed. And what I like to look at this little diagram that we have as far as the start line, finish line, that at the start, we have this idea of a new birth. When the Bible says in John chapter 3 that you can be born again by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that His death, His burial, His resurrection are sufficient to make it possible for us to be born again. What a wonderful truth. This is what was talked about in the first parts of this chapter. It says, this is the gospel, the good news, that you can believe that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. Paid that penalty. He was buried. He rose again. And that's that new birth, that new opportunity to have a new life in Christ, abundant and free. And that over here is that goal of having that new body. And this over here, the new birth, if you want a doctrinal name for this, it's called justification. Justification, that I am made right before God through the work of Jesus Christ. He paid for the penalty of my sin. And that I am able to no longer be responsible for it. I go from looking at God as my judge to looking at God as my Father. And I'm in a new birth. And in that, if you look at all the way to this other end where that new body comes up with a resurrection, and it's called the glorified body. And this doctrinal term is called glorification. So somewhere between glorification and justification over here is this long race, this enduring race that theologically is called sanctification. A process wherein we are starting as newborn babes in Christ and doing those things which are necessary in growth and maturity as we go on this path of a disciple of growing till we get to that point where finally He comes and gets us. And in all that time, our goal is to grow and to change and to progress and to become more like Him. And God has given to us His Word, the Bible, to help us know what those steps are, to know what we need to be doing. And He's given us the example of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us an idea of what that looks like. He has given us descriptions of the fruit of the Spirit to show us how we should be responding to things. He has shown us that there are certain things that we need to learn to put off from our life that are more reminiscent of that old life. And that as new birth, we need to look at the things that are characteristic of the new life as we put off and put on those new things. And that we're told as this race goes on that through the process of trials, difficulty, studying the Word, responding biblically to things, we become more like Jesus Christ. We come to a point where we're getting to where we look more and more like Him. Now, these are things that affect, really, not so much our outward appearance. These are things that are changing the, as the Bible says, the inward man, or the inward person. That we're being changed day by day as we resign ourselves to the Word and want to change to be like Jesus Christ. And that all this process we're going through, and at the end of the rough, He says when the resurrection takes place, we find out what the pathway is as we go through these types of things. Folks, we don't know what God will take us through on that path. It'd be kind of great, wouldn't it be, if the day we're saved, that God just gives a little pamphlet. In that pamphlet, you can fold it out like a map, and He'll tell you from month to month, or year to year, everything you're going to go through as a Christian. And you can diagram it, and you'll know that in 2 years, this type of thing will happen, and that type of thing will happen. And you can have a map of your whole race. And you can run that race, and you can know when to speed up and when to slow down, when to take a break and when to get up and run again. All these types of things. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That when new life came, that He came with that. Well, you know, God didn't give us a map quite like that. He didn't give one that's individually packaged. He did, though, as I mentioned earlier, give us this. It's called a runner's guide for the spiritual life. That we can use. That it's even thicker than the book that Joel gave me on running. And that it does deal with things. That doesn't tell me necessarily what my pace should be after so many miles. It doesn't tell me how I should buy shoes and things like that. But it tells me more important things. It tells me things that are going to last me more than just a two-hour duration. It tells me how that I can be successful in this life. And if you ask those individuals who have faithfully served God for decades, they'll tell you this is the runner's guide they've been using. They'll tell you this is what has helped them through the difficult times. They'll tell you this is what's helped them when they were with the wrong runners, to tell them which runners they need to change to. They'll tell you what wrong things they needed to start changing and taking out of their body and putting new stuff into their body. They'll tell you what kind of regimen they started developing in preparation for various parts of the race because of this Bible. Being aware of the duration, all things that go along with that. Acknowledgement of dependence. Going on to verses 56 and 57. Paul says this way, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We've sung a lot about victory today. Victory in Jesus. We have that victory through Him. And I trust you won't forget this. We have sung about that so much, there's really little need for me to have to preach much about it. You just think about those songs. You think about that truth. And this week, if you would, just keep those songs in your mind that you can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to make it through this race because of Him. But when you're on a race that lasts for 2 hours, your mind has to be on something. And if your mind is on, I can't make it, I can't make it, this is too long, I can't make it, my legs feel tired, I'm getting a cramp, oh, I'm so hungry, I am so thirsty, it's so hot out here. Everybody's so far ahead of me. That bench looks really good. When you can think about all sorts of things, but those types of things will not help you get towards the end of that race. It will be those types of things that cause you to stop and to quit. And to say, yeah, it's not that important. I don't have any real need to do this. And that might be okay for a running race. No, not everyone has to finish. You don't have to get one of those little medals that you can hang around your neck. You don't have to get your picture taken, although those things are kind of nice. But you know, there's a difference between the physical race that I'm talking about and the spiritual race. And folks, that even though we're sealed in Jesus Christ, and we have, once you place your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm confident that He is, you know, that you are sealed in Him. But folks, we still have a responsibility to run that race, because we are going to come to that very end, and it's going to be a question of, how did you run? What did you do for me? We will be accountable for those things that we did while in the race. And if we realize that victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll keep us going. What victory is important. We need to do this because of what He has done and what He can do through us. The final is anticipation of the destination. Anticipation of the destination. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I know some of you are thinking, this is the type of race I like, immovable. I'll do that race. I'll just stay here on the chair. It's immovable. No, please don't take my illustration and go the wrong direction. The idea is you're steadfast, immovable in your pace, in moving forward, in accomplishing that. You're not going to be pushed off the path. You're not going to be pushed down as you're going forth through your race. You are going on because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that you know that the hard work, and the key thing here is the word labor. That this is a work, this is a difficulty, this is something that is hard. If we jump into the race because it's going to be a lot of fun. And we ran across a few people like that. And said, this is that. You've ever run a race like this? No, but it's not like a whole lot of fun. And some people jump into a relationship with Jesus Christ thinking it's going to be a lot of fun. He's going to just make my life easy. Oh, His yoke is light, but He's there to help us through a difficult time. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. That's that idea of the gymnasium type thing. Some of us are allergic to gymnasium. You know, we go in there and all sorts of bad things happen to us. You know, it just isn't the place we want to be. I was always allergic to the library. I couldn't go in the library. There's just too many books. It gave me kind of a creeps kind of thing. But, you know, the idea of exercising, of putting forth a sweat and working ourselves in the area of spirituality. Just for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Folks, when we keep in mind the anticipation of the destination, what helps us through this is realizing that why should I be a faithful believer? Why should I be faithful in being involved with service of Him? Why should I care about other believers? Why should I put myself out? Why should I spend hours doing this and that? Why should I do this? Because there's great benefit to it. There's profit in this life and in the life yet to come. There's nothing in my estimation, and I'll say, there's nothing in my estimation that's more enjoyable than pouring my life into people and see them grow as a result of that. This last weekend, I had the privilege of going to Ames and spending about 25 hours of teaching time with 8 different churches, working with 3 other trainers for the purpose of helping them become disciple-making churches. And it was such a joy for me. I would get done with that and usually go home and put together some more PowerPoint slides at the place we were staying up until midnight every night this last half of the week. And just quite frankly, exhausted physically, but on a high spiritually, because I knew these people were so excited about what we were sharing with them and, you know, plugging into people's lives and seeing things change in their lives is well worth it. It's profit for this life and it's profit for the life yet to come. These spiritual disciplines of putting ourselves out for the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings great benefit. The hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that were required to run before running just one race were hard. But you know, when I got in the race, it was great. It was really great. And I just want to encourage you that it is worthwhile to endure for the Lord. Plan to finish well. First of all, make sure you're getting in the race. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you in the race? Have you placed your faith so you can be in that new life, that new birth part? Trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? We'd like to talk with you if you haven't. We'd like to go over the gospel with you, tell you the truth, give you hope, give you excitement. We'll have opportunity. We'll have folks available out in the foyer after the morning worship service, always around by my office. Just have to start right off to my right, your left, your right as you're going out. Just stop over there. We'll be glad to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Are you running with the right path? Are you running with the right people? Are the people helping you? Be careful. Don't injure yourself. Are you doing foolish things that could end up injuring you, pull you out of the race? Are you keeping on track? Are you doing things to keep yourself on track? Are you using your energy wisely? Are you able to make sure that you are pacing yourself and you're not using your energy elsewhere? And do you remember why you're running? Do you remember why you're doing this? Do you remember why you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know why you want to do this, what God has given to you? Do you know why this is so important? If you don't know why, talk with us about that too, because we can give you some good ideas as to why you should be giving your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust you'll plan to finish well. We trust that you will embrace this runner's book for the spiritual life and that you will see great success. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to just share with the folks the truth of your word. And Father, I just trust that the most important thing that comes out of this is that you have given us a great hope to endure and to stick with that which you've called us to. Our labor is not in vain. It is exciting to know that we are giving our lives for you. And I pray for each one of you. There's some here, folks, that, Lord, that some of these folks that just really need to realize that their labor is not in vain. They might be discouraged right now. They might be just thinking, is it worth having a strong testimony for you? Is it worth putting forth time to study your word? Is it worth spending time with other believers? Father, I pray that your word will be true to them and real to them, that they'll know that labor is not in vain. Father, there's some that have been very active in discipling others and been discouraged. People have forsaken them. People have distracted from what they were trying to encourage them to do. They need that encouragement too. Father, there's some that have gotten into the race and they've gotten distracted. They know that they could be doing better than what they are right now. And it just bothers them that they're not. But then they get away and the bothering goes away. God, I pray that you will help them to be convinced that you want them to run well. That they won't just shut down your conviction, but instead they'll take it and realize it's your loving call to run and to run well and to break out of the pack and feel the wind. Oh, Father, I pray you'll help our dear people today to see the value that their labor's not in vain in you. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.